Welcome to the New Music Podcast. We're your two regular jackoffs from upstate New York. My name is Painted Nails.
There it is.
Yep.
My name is Reverend Kyle.
My real name, my legal birth name, is Patrick Teal, but today we're not talking about who I am. We're talking about a band that that plays music, and they do that jerk shit. It's a band called Until the Dead Walk. It's not the whole band. We just got a guy named Bassy. I still don't even know if I'm saying your name right, dude.
Bassy.
So is that like on your birth certificate?
No, it's Tracy. My actual artist name on Facebook now is Tracy and everything. It's just my personal account for whatever fucking reason. I don't even fucking know anymore. It just kind of stuck. Everybody's got a nickname in the band. Dakota is Jack Black because he looks like somehow even shorter version of Jack Black. Ren's real name is Lorenzo, but we call him Ren Affleck. Fucking Austin, A-Dogs. Sean is new, the new guitarist and the new drummer. They don't have a nickname yet. They'll earn it in time.
They got to wait to do something stupid.
Yeah. That's basically how it comes.
That's what's up, man. Well, we're here to talk about the band, and I'm pretty stoked to have you here because there's a lot of different things that we can talk about outside of just your involvement in that band. You do a lot of other things for the scene, like video promotion on like Instagram and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I do PR, and I run an independent record label and help whoever the hell, you know. How do I put this? A one-man promoting machine.
That is...
go ahead.
Oh, no, that's Slam Worldwide's Instagram bio. One-man promotion machine.
He is also a one-man promoting machine.
No, that man's doing good work.
I didn't even know it was just one person. I thought it was, like, multiple people.
I tried reaching out to that guy because I want to make his TikTok content, but I can't find out
That shows how much I pay attention.
Well, also, like, I haven't tried that hard to find out this guy's real contact information.
That's true.
I DM'd him once on Instagram and then just forgot to look any further.
I just contact him through email, but I still have zero clue what his name is, anything. I just go through the Slam Worldwide email. But, I mean, he's real nice. You know, he talks to me.
I mean, that's part of the fun is, like, there's no mystique in music anymore because everything is out there.
Actually, Mystique is in music. She's in Earthcaller now, or is that the band name?
Okay, I know. I like where you went there. I love that. And also, she was on one of your guys' songs, which is pretty sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't get her to email me back.
She's done blowing up. She's expensive now. But, like, good for her. She deserves it. And she's fucking killing the game.
And she's out there making women in metal look good, unlike some people right now. But damn, no, I'm pretty stoked. You guys have had a lot of features on your music, and I didn't realize that until I opened up your Spotify, and I saw that Tom Barber was on your guys' first song.
Yeah, our first first single from that. We released an EP before that, but it was like not the best mix, so like we deleted it all. And it was before we got into depth about learning about music theory and things. So first EP was just a bunch of bros hanging out making music, and then we got Pablo as a producer, and he's like, we're not going to do that anymore, you're going to learn how to do this right. And then he taught us how to be awesome, or you know, how to make quality music, you know, that like people are like, yeah, like we could listen to this on a daily basis, maybe, perhaps,
and
sometimes.
That's Pablo from Chelsea Grin, right?
Yeah, he's with John Langston as well now.
I've been wondering.
Country boy.
No, go ahead, Kyle.
I didn't say a word.
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
I didn't say a word.
I've been wondering why we haven't gotten anything new from Chelsea Grin in a while.
I don't really know. I know Pablo is busy touring with John Langston. Makes a lot of money. Country makes money, man. It does.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I'm from Kentucky, so I can't hate on it. I definitely, everybody around me loves country. So, like, and if you're making a lot more money, explain it. I mean, why not?
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, I grew up on country, so like the 80s, I love the 80s country. Like, I don't give a shit.
I mean, if some strapping country artist needs a bassist, you know, hit me up. I'll take it.
Dude, imagine that country artist that wants that 8-string bass in the back. I glitched out like crazy there, didn't I?
Yeah, but we got it.
Yeah. It came in a little slow, but it's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got to think, Pablo, somebody went, whoa, that deathcore drummer is awesome. Let's make him our country drummer now. So, I mean, it's possible. Very possible.
Entirely.
And it's not even first. Like, I think, what other artists have switched to country?
Got Danny Wurstomp. He did country.
The drummer from Tyler. He's also the drummer for Jelly Roll.
Wait.
I forgot about that.
What? Yeah, which one?
Dude. So, Cody Ash, the drummer for Siler, he's also the drummer for Jelly Roll.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, wow, cool. I completely forgot about that.
He's from Kentucky. I see him at shows occasionally. He's a cool dude.
Look, man, that's one state that I've never been to is Kentucky.
I haven't really left New York unless we were traveling at our job, Pat. So,
well, that means
I'll actually be visiting New York soon. Definitely by the time this podcast releases, unless it's not released on like tonight, is it? Because this festival it gets announced tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, I'll probably have this up tomorrow.
Then that's fine. It's fine tomorrow, but again, June 11th, 200 Stab Wounds, Until the Dead Walk, Left to Suffer, Autumn Lies Buried, Fight from
Where
Within.
Where is it in New York? Please tell me where it is.
Rochester?
Pat, we're going. Pat, we need to see, we need to go.
Rochester isn't
Manchester Hall, I believe. Wherever that is, the Manchester Hall.
Oh, Manchester Hall. I thought you said Rochester.
I think it is in Rochester. Syracuse. It's in Syracuse.
That's why. Yep.
Pat, we're
that's
going
like,
now.
That's like 3 hours away. That's not that bad.
Pat, we're going. I want to see Taylor.
I can't wait. I'm excited to play with them. We also play with them in Louisville, April 7th. I got them for the one day off the Traders Tour. You know, not trying to brag, but
I'm not trying to brag, but I'm definitely bragging, by the way.
This much.
Oh man, I really want to go to another show again. It's been bugging me. The only show I've been to since the pandemic is Gojira, and that was it was still like COVID was still pretty bad at that time. So it's like I don't know, it made me too fucking like in my head about it. But now I think things are opening up a little bit more. I'm a little more receptive to the idea of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just more about, I don't know, it's kind of, I'd say, at your own risk thing, you know. Make sure your immunity's up to it if you are going out, because, like, I think I've gotten COVID twice now. First time was awful, like, I felt like I was going to die. And then the second time I got COVID, it felt like nothing. And I was like, okay, I see why some people are like, it's different for everybody, you know, is what I've learned. And that's why you get so much like, you know,
BS.
It's bad, it's not bad. And everybody just hates each other. It's because you're all getting different things depending on your immunity. So like, obviously going to be different, but it doesn't mean that it's not bad. It's still bad. Yeah.
But I think we can all agree COVID is a real thing that exists.
Yeah.
You can get
I've definitely got it twice, so I do agree. It's real. The first time I was like, I don't know if I'm going to fucking live, like, because like this is not good, you know.
That was
and then the second time,
ago,
I was,
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. That was like maybe a week after we got back from our first tour. Like fucking the first tour back from COVID, I was like, sweet, we survived all the tour without COVID. Then immediately one of the kids came home from school with COVID and fucking we all,
Figures, school.
It's a horrible second time. I was like, not bad. But I think I don't know if it's because of it was the new variant or if it's just because of, you know, natural immunity buildup or what, but like it definitely was not as bad as the first time. The first time I was like, holy shit, I am dying. I don't know if I'm going to make this through this. Yeah. And then, yeah, second time was cake, a little sniffle, you know, but tested positive for COVID again. I was like, okay.
Kyle, you still haven't confirmed for a fact that, like, you haven't confirmed got it yet, right?
Hold on, I have a furball climbing up. So when I got my first shot, I felt like death immediately right after, basically. So, like, I asked him when I got my second shot, I was like, so I felt like dog shit, like, immediately, so... And he's like, really?
He's fucking with you, I swear.
She is. It's because I took her to the vet today. That's probably why. But, so, like, basically, if you get sick on your first shot, like, immediately, you've had it before. But I didn't show any symptoms when I had it. So, basically, I did have it. I know I did. I was sick for, like, a good hot, like, 2 weeks. Like, I felt like death. I couldn't leave the fucking bed. I couldn't do nothing. So,
that was,
I'm pretty sure I've gotten it.
The January before... it all went like the January before everybody knew about COVID. I swear you had it. You just didn't know.
I probably did. Like I was talking to like when COVID spreaded to the US or when they were trapped in that yacht and they were talking about COVID and shit like that. I was talking to my coworkers. I'm like, I'm not scared of a lot of things, but that right there, that is going to scare the shit out of me if it comes over here.
Yeah, man. But as much as I love talking about COVID, let's switch gears here a little bit. I kind of want to know how Tracy got started with music and how you eventually wound up with the guys in Until the Dead Walk.
Oh, I mean, I played music in high school. I've always played bass. I tried guitar originally, and then I had an ex-band member from when we were kids, which it was a kid band, so it's not like it was a real band or anything, you know, but he was just like, you're very fucking heavy-handed. He was like, you should totally just try bass. And then I switched, and I'm like, wow, this feels a lot better.
That's like a backhanded compliment.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking.
I was like, you damn, really you ass, try bass.
Right. You're playing the guitar a little bit of the instrument.
Hey, you play like an asshole. Try this.
And then, you know, became an adult. Life hit. Didn't do much of music for a while. Got in some legal trouble. Got out of some legal trouble. Got really bored with life because, like, I was on probation, so I was just trying to be as good as possible. And then I met this girl who was really into band dudes. So I was like, huh, I could be a band dude.
There it is. There it is.
It's all and, always back to a girl.
It always does, man. And then I got in one band that they switched names and they're still doing stuff, but didn't work out for me just because like I knew I didn't. I skipped a whole lot of stuff in that like short iteration, but I was a cable guy and cable salesman for like 4 or 5 years. After I turned 18, and I learned so much about just business and customer relations and just everything. By the way, that girl does not talk to me anymore. We're not friends, but like once I got into music and I started learning more and more about music marketing, which is a lot fucking different than cable marketing, just so you know, like everybody wants 100%. Cable. Not everybody wants to listen to your band. Everybody wants internet.
But then again, nobody wants cable anymore. So
yeah. Well, I mean, you need Wi-Fi at least from them. I mean, something, you know. So I kept learning, you know, taking classes, reading as much as possible, and it took forever. to like figure out everything. But that I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But like, all right, I was in that band. It was called Of Clarity. We even got a song with Andrew Zink, and somehow it was still awful. Like, we paid this man to literally put great vocals on a terrible fucking track. But, which, I mean, all the dudes are good. They're making new music that sounds a lot better. But, what was it? Until the Dead Walk, they released their first EP that is deleted now, and they had a bassist who was, like, a little older than the rest of the band. Like, they were all, like, 21 at the time, 23, 24, and this dude was like that. Yeah, so it was just a weird fit, and obviously, as, you know, with a lot of age difference, there's just a bunch of conflict, and he bounced, and then they asked me to fill in for a few shows, and I did. And I didn't really have intentions of staying in the beginning because, like, but then I heard Cannibal Cafe, the first, like, real song for the real album. I was like, I fuck with this. Like, you know, I might be able to stay, you guys, and, like, see how this goes. And then it did. And, you know, I'm going from there. Cannibal Cafe was wrote way before the rest of No Music, Just Violence. So I got to sit there through the writing process of the rest of the album. But, like, they showed me that first single, and I was like, hell yeah. Like, this is some good deathcore, you know? Some deathcore.
It's a knee slapper. Oh, man. But, damn, that's a wild journey. So, was that around the time that you had started, like, around the time that you joined Until the Dead Walk, was that around the time that you started Nasty Breakdowns?
No, I started Nasty Breakdown, like, literally maybe a year ago. Like, I got bored during COVID. And the reason, and it's not even, like, really a thing anymore. It's a weird situation with Nasty Breakdown. I don't know what I want to do. So I'm still trying to figure that out, you know, like, what makes me happiest, which I like working with artists. Originally, I was hosting shows. I actually retired from that after the Left to Suffer show I'm hosting in April. Just because, like, it turns out I don't enjoy hosting shows, you know? It's like, I've only been in the music industry for about 2.5 years now. So I'm still learning what I like. And it, like, turns out, like, I like booking shows. I hate promoting shows. Like, you know, I like sending the offers. I don't like getting them and doing all the legwork. That's so much fucking work. And plus, I got, like, 5 kids, man. So it's just hard to, like, you know, just leave for more work that is very little pay because promoters do not make enough money at the end of the day.
Dude, nobody in this business is making enough money.
Oh, some of them are making enough money and acting like they're not making enough money. I know some of these bands' guarantees are outrageous. Not outrageous, like, you'll make your money off of them, but some of these bands, like, people say metalcore money's dead, but, like, coming from the booking side and actually knowing what these guys are making per stop and everything, I'm like, fucking, is it? Like, you know, they're all walking, each member's walking away with a grand a night type deal, and that's not... You're not over here living lavish like Britney Spears or anything, but, like, that's a good middle-class life, you know, to just live your dream. And I think that's all any of us can ask for, you know. I get to the point to where I'm making, like, shit, like, you know, $1,000 a night or something. I'm going to be happy in my little yeehaw home and not ask for any more. Stay right the fuck where I'm at.
I feel that, man. I swear, like, just one show like that a week and you've got rent paid. You've got bills paid.
Just imagine a 30-day tour or something. You know, you'd make 30 grand. I'm like, some people don't make that in a whole fucking year. You do two yearly tours, and you're making middle-class fucking money. So, and it's just all a building process, which a lot of people don't realize. Like, they're like, oh, we'll never be as big as Suicide Silence, or we'll never be as big as this band or that band. It's like, bro, that band's been doing this for 20 years. You know, like, your band has been a band for a year. maybe 2 years, maybe three even, but like, just got to give it time. You know, as long as you're seeing positive growth on a daily basis, you just keep going. And then eventually you'll get to that point. It's different for every artist.
If we use Suicide Silence as an example, that band existed for like 4 or 5 years before Mitch even joined.
They're on the 20th anniversary. So, I mean, if it 4 or 5 years prior, that means they've been a band for 25 years busting their ass. And, you know, they deserve whatever fucking fancy, nice guarantee they're probably getting.
But to be fair, what's funny to me about that band is that, like, nobody in that band is a founding member.
That's fine. That's the same with Chelsea Green almost.
Almost.
I mean, with our lineup, our vocalists are the same, but I'm not the original bassist. Well, technically, the way Pablo puts it is the original members is who goes on the original tour, and anybody prior to that doesn't fucking matter.
That's fair.
Right, so I guess technically I am an original member. But, like, we've changed two drummers now, and we've changed one guitarist now. So, I mean, we've changed out a few people. I mean, it just happens as you grow when you need people who are more professional or as people, you know. Like, our last drummer, he had a baby, and he was just like, I want to focus on the baby. And I think he got, like, a really, really good job offer. So, like, that's why he quit. And then the guy before him, it just wasn't working out. I don't really remember too much about it. It was in the beginning.
I'm just going to be honest. Like, I don't really think that it matters who's a founding member at all. Like, there are plenty of people that got added on after the fact and wound up becoming, like, twice as legendary. Twice as legendary. Right. Case in point, Cannibal Corpse. The new front man. Yeah.
It's crazy what they're doing, man. Like, they've always been popular, and like, people see it as like, oh no, you know, you could just blow up anywhere. No, Lorna Shore was busting their ass for like 10 years prior. Like, yeah, they got Will, and Will blew them up past where they were at, but they were already popping, you know.
Yeah,
so like, and just going back to, you know, continuous grind, and then, you know, what grinding does is makes it easier in the long-term process, because every day you're gaining more fans, and you just have that bigger chance to go viral, and then you make some good content, like Into the Hellfire or something like that, and then it's everywhere. You know, everybody wants a piece of it.
There but like saying, weeks, though.
Yeah, I mean, but like, what helped was, you know, the super long grind that led up to the point of gaining Will. Like, just imagine it. Like, if they had zero followers, zero anything, and zero marketing money, they probably would have done what majority of bands do. But because of, like, you know, the dedication and hard work of their team for, God, how old is that band now? It's like 10, 15 years, I believe.
Well, they started around 2012, I think.
So 10 years. So, and yeah, and then boom, you know, they hit the sweet spot with Will. And it took them from, like, established, you know, national band to, like, the national band, you know, the national deathcore band.
It's funny because Will was fucking killing it in every band leading up to Lorna Shore.
Yeah.
I think it's so crazy how long he was slept on for.
I mean, it just takes one piece of good content. Let me talk about Autobots Buried, for instance. Those guys, they dropped their song Brothel, which is almost at like 400,000 streams. Their most viral song did not get popular until 2021, but they dropped it in 2019. What happened was Kaylin, their vocalist, started on TikTok, started growing a following, and then started talking about his music. And because, you know, following like the music, boom, they had a viral song.
It's funny how like the drop of a at like insert, you know, generic metaphor for like literally a moment, but all it takes is one moment that connects with a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, they
especially TikTok or music.
Dude, it's wild what TikTok has been able to do over the last two years, let alone just like its entire inception, or since its inception, rather.
TikTok is just a weird fucking place. Like, I dropped the video that I went viral in, like, probably like a couple weeks, maybe like almost a month, and then somehow it just got viral for no fucking reason. So
it's so weird because like the dumbest shit will go viral, and it's almost always the dumb shit and not the, like, it's weird how like you can take the formula that you would normally apply for YouTube, which it would honestly just be like super engaging content, but also super like how to tutorial type shit, doesn't always work on TikTok. A lot of times it's dumb shit like throw some fart samples over that MGK song, that MGK cover of Misery Business or Numb, whichever one, and that shit will go viral. I saw 20 million views on that just yesterday.
Fuck MGK.
I'm going to go ahead and agree while I wait for Kyle to rebuttal.
Don't do it, Kyle.
Here's the thing. Here we go.
Now, I will admit, I wanted to start something off of that, but I was like, the person's not worth my breath. He's not worth the views whatsoever. But I'm not going to say his name because I don't feel like hearing his stupid ass. I'm not going to lie to you. But basically, if to get views for MGK, all you have to do is just put MGK and then like go with the algorithm of you fucking hate them and shit like that. It's like, whatever. But the problem is, like, now that he's doing this emo shit, like, the first album that he dropped before he was doing covers before he dropped the album. So he came out with the Numb one, the Numb cover, and that was actually a tribute to Chester, which people don't fucking realize because they don't do their research. And they also, and he also dropped Paramore, which I will admit is not the best fucking cover that he's ever done. And again, neither is Numb. Neither is Numb, and that I will agree with everybody. But the thing is, it's like almost 3 to 4 years old now, and now people are starting to be like, oh, wow, he made this cover? Oh, fuck him. Yeah, dude, like 3 fucking years ago. Like, why are you guys just dick riding him now? Because he's going through it.
Gotta let you in on a little secret. I've never listened to a single MGK pop punk song. Never once. I've never.
On the song. It depends on the song that you first listen to. So I don't mind his emo album. I really don't mind it. I mean, there's obviously some songs that are like, why? And there's another songs where like, okay.
Body Bag is the only one I fuck with off that whole album. Body Bag is
really good.
And that one had fucking Burt McCracken on it and someone else.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And it feels like a cash grab to me. Like, watch old interviews of Colson Baker. You know, this man was talking about, oh, I grew up in the hood. You know, I grew up on rap. And now he's all, I grew up on dark bats and emo-ness, and I've always had my hair long, and I've just been this depressed white boy this whole time. It's like, bro, make up your fucking mind. Like, one of those two things is a lie, and either way, you paid a bunch of people for a fucking bunch of money.
Well, that's literally just how marketing works. You're selling a product, you have to create the entire persona. And like, to a certain degree, I understand that. But when it comes to rock and metal, that's the one thing that people just fail to understand is that with rock and metal, you can't fake that authenticity. And it just,
when people pick up
on that, the second one metalhead says, I'm not buying this guy's real one, nobody does. Like they all... Yeah. It never works. And that's always been the problem with MGK is that and especially with the way that he behaves like a rapper would, beefing with everybody in the scene and just like starting shit over shoes and shit like that. Like, that's literally just him marketing himself the way he always did with rap, but now taking it into rock where it honestly doesn't fit.
No, it doesn't.
That I agree. I mean, there's like, I'm just sick of seeing every fucking TikTok, like almost every 2 to 3 TikTok trolls, it's always that stupid Paramore song, or it's the fucking Numb song, and it's some asshole like this.
This is what you need to do.
Like, dude, are you fucking serious?
I'm not gonna talk shit about them for likes. I don't make TikToks about other artists too much that aren't making me money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, it completely makes sense. But the problem with that is like, if you're gonna do it, fucking be funny. Like, if you want to make fun of the dude, be fucking funny. I'm sick of seeing some cross-eyed prick fucking playing it over, and he's like, oh, I'll never be an emo again. Fuck this shit. Like, shut the fuck up and be funny. Like, it's not that hard. I've seen one fucking TikTok that was actually worth my fucking time, and it was actually funny. But all the rest of them, like I said, are just some cross-eyed pricks that have no idea what the fuck they're talking about, and they're like, shit, I guess I don't get enough views.
It really just depends on who the creator is making that content for and what their reason is behind making it. So, like, if people are making, like let's just use your content with Filthy Breakdowns as an example. Like, honestly, like, people have, if they followed that page for long enough, they know it's curated for new breakdowns always. Something kind of meme-y, but also, like, new breakdowns. They know what to expect, whereas you have people who... I'm sorry?
I said I like what I like, music-wise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Breakdown-wise.
And, like, the thing is that people don't understand is that, like, when people create content like that, they're creating a pattern of saying, oh, I like to, you know, make fun of, you know, I like to punch down or whatever. That's what they're going for. And I think that, like, with TikTok in general, there's definitely plenty of beefs that just happen on TikTok that are completely unnecessary. It is what it is. Nature of the beast. I mean, you give an app like TikTok to as many people as you do, and all these kids on it, I'm not surprised. Kind of surprised it didn't happen sooner, to be honest.
Right. I mean, it's fun from time to time. Some of them are dumb as shit.
Oh my god, they're fucking hilarious.
Let's see, the social repos Ronnie beef, that's just dumb as shit. Like, I could care less about that, which I'm glad he just...
you did that personally. How was that beef?
I didn't dig it personally. I liked the first video, I was like, oh, this is funny, and then like 5 videos later I'm like, oh, this is not funny anymore, you know,
the same shit. Yeah, the same shit, and it's just not funny.
I found the whole thing kind of just like, what are we actually trying to achieve here? That's all I was wondering, is like, I know this can't just be views. Like, this is just like, you two always do this every couple years.
Yeah.
It's, you know, everybody's getting, from a marketing standpoint, I mean, he's responding because it's popular, you know, like, he's getting a whole bunch of They're both talking shit about each other. Everybody's talking shit, but it's really just to exchange fans. That's all it really ever is. Mm-hmm. Like, a bunch of MGK fans became Slipknot fans. A bunch of Slipknot fans heard of MGK for the first time. None of it's real, except for the trap beef with us. Like, we're really going to fucking fuck them up. But that was just because, like, we were a young band at the time, and we didn't have nothing to lose.
Anybody listening that doesn't know that story, how would you explain what happened with you and Trapped?
It was like right after they started beef with Body Count. We said something, not even that bad, just like, you know, you probably shouldn't insult deathcore bands or something like that. Like, you know, don't insult the whole genre. And they were like, oh, and they responded like, oh, you know, everybody sucks, your production sucks and everything, blah, blah, blah. Like, just got to go in on us for just being like, you know, don't make fun of, like, everybody, please, you know? And fucking, and then, like, we just went in on them. Like, fucking, our whole fan base found a lot of fun in harassing them. And, like, 90% of our fan base, I'd say, is fucking blocked from their pages from that. And then we contacted a promoter in Ohio who had them booked and explained the beef to him and told him that he should put us on the show, you know? You know, they run their mouth on Twitter. They want to run their mouth on Twitter, Facebook, and whatever the fuck. Let's see how they do in person, you know? And
I mean, I try to do the same thing, to be honest.
Just get me within 5 feet of that man. I swear to you. That's all I need.
We didn't get the opportunity, man. But what ended up happening was it put us on the show flyer, and originally it brought a shit ton of attention. Like, but where we fucked up is we were not being quiet enough about it, I guess, because all our fans were going, we can't wait to watch the Triple Dead Wave, blah, blah, blah. And then he called the promoter, and he was like, hey, I need you to take that band off. And the promoter called us. He was like, he doesn't want you on this show anymore because of the drama, and he's afraid of, like, something actually happening. And I was like, put us under a fake name. And he did. And we almost made it to the end, man. We almost made it to show day. But I think it was like a week prior, our fans just went back in on him, and he found out, and they canceled 1 a.m. day of show. And then we just headlined the show. So, yeah, we completely kicked them off. But I guess out of fear, but like, there's a video circulating online of the crowd screaming fuck trap and everything, which it was a show during COVID and everything. So it wasn't a huge show, you know, as everybody was social distancing and things. And we didn't even really want to play shows during COVID. We just really wanted to shut them the fuck up. So we accept it, you know.
Well, that man was starting to sue me when I worked for Metal Sucks.
Yeah, I saw that. He never threatened to sue us, but, like, he did run his mouth and then try to deny that that even ever happened. Like, bro, no, that happened, and there are hundreds of witnesses. Yeah, you know, there are hundreds of witnesses.
Yeah.
You know, a fucking cockbag.
Well, yeah, I mean, just, like, he's never made transphobic comments. He's never said anything racist. He's never said anything misogynistic. Like, the man is everything wrong in the world on top of just being cringe as fuck.
I'm on camera a little bit. Sorry, Jeff.
The dude honestly is a fucking moron. He really honestly is.
He's a goofy individual. I mean, that's fun while it lasted, I guess. But he has me blocked on literally everything. Like, they're on TikTok. I literally just first time a comment, and he was like, I'm not fucking with these guys again, and just immediately blocked us.
I'm pretty sure I did get blocked on TikTok from a girl that like I made a video off of. And I also got banned from Pig Squeals and Breakdowns. I also got trapped, blocked, or they blocked me. So, like, I made one video and got blocked by, like, three people. And, like, the group kicked me out and shit.
I actually got trapped to follow my satire page, unknowingly.
Yo, I remember seeing that.
That's amazing.
So, a couple months ago, which was just a fake anti-metal page. And then it was a success for the most part. Like, people fucking loved it. It gained a lot of reactions. And then I made Dads Against Deathcore. So it was just kind of like an alternative version of that page that was a little less, like, she went hard on the, like, fake religious overachiever. And I went more on, like, fuck you, get off my lawn, you spoiled punks, you know?
I love it.
And feel, and I made, he's like, I don't know. I went on his post, like, pretending from the dad's post, like, Dads Against Deathcore on TikTok. I was like, hell yeah, brother. I hate all these bands too. You are so right. Just being sarcastic. And he actually followed me. He was like, yes, Dads Against Deathcore is the ones. And then,
oh my God. See, if you need help understanding how fucking stupid Chris Taylor Brown is, that right there, the fact that he didn't see that was satire. That's
24 hours later, he blocked me. So, like, I think he eventually realized, but it took him a minute. And he did completely follow us. Like, I think I sent you a screenshot of it when it happened. I was like, oh my God, like, this idiot, man.
You're going to catch a cease and desist letter? My fucking man. Please. Oh, see.
That's the problem, Bob, you know?
He should
it's not as fun as it used to be.
He should just stop taking on everyone. That's all it comes down to, man. He's just got to fucking actually just make good music.
He can't.
No.
I mean, it's crazy. Is apparently, I mean, it's crazy.
Honestly, before he did all this stupid shit, I mean, Headstrong. We all have to admit, Headstrong was good when it first came out.
Oh fuck yeah,
it was good.
No,
I will admit.
No, but that's just
no one can fucking deny that. But
I just think of his cheesy ass every time. I'm just like, this is the guy.
Well, now. Yeah, well, now it's like, all right, well, maybe it's not that great anymore.
It is a little tainted, though, but what band did that fucking cover? That one band put, like, the parody cover with the funny lyrics?
Jared
Dines.
It
was fucking...
No, it wasn't
Jared
Dines. Well,
Jared Dines was one of them, but he did a better cover of it. But it was, there was this other band that was like, Back Off, I'll Suck You Off. Back Off, I'll Take On Anyone. Something.
Headstrong.
This is not where I belong.
Anyone.
Was that not Jared?
Headstrong.
No.
That was not Jared.
That
Dunn.
Was this band, The Defiler, because they actually have a beef with that band. Like they have like gotten into physical altercations already. So like there's it's a whole thing.
I don't think I could get that immature again. Like I would have to like. To like argue with him. Sometimes when I'm running the Deads Against Deathcore page, like it hurts my brain to act that dumb. You know, like I'm like, why am I acting like such a redneck? Why am I so good at this? But it also just hurts, you know? Like,
my inner redneck is coming out.
It's hard pretending to be dumber, like really, sometimes.
I don't have to pretend. I just am that dumb.
Dumb it down. Make a page where you're just lower your IQ by 50% and run that page. And they'll be like, fuck, million likes. We love this guy.
I already have a page for that. It's called Patrick Teal on TikTok. Like all of that. All that is me just like taking myself and diluting out all the moments where I pretend I'm actually smarter than I really am.
Literally. I love it.
Man.
My TikTok's
meanwhile, you got me as a reverend, and then I like make a character of a reverend, and I'm just a completely different fucking person. And I haven't done that in a hot minute, but
oh man,
that's how I got TikTok.
I am a little camera shy, so for the most part, I just make memes. I mean, it's not even that I'm camera shy. It's that like. I don't know. Every time I watch a video of me in it, I'm just like, I'm not an actor. Like, I don't like this, you know? Like, I don't think I'm good at acting. You're not going to catch me in, you know, the next, you know, anything movie related or anything like that. Or TikToks, apparently. Like, but I am video editing, so that's what I do, you know?
I would say you are kind of an actor, though.
How so?
You've been in music videos.
Yeah, but like,
on
I'm
stage
just
and you have to sell that shit. Like, I think it's funny how a lot of musicians feel the way you feel. Like you're not acting because that I don't know I see that as a performance and I see that very much like acting.
It's different. I don't know, the adrenaline on stage. Is insane. And then and plus I'm just a bassist. Like I don't know if I could even go on stage and be a vocalist. Like I like where I am because I'm rarely the center of attention. Like I can do cool stuff on and like people be like, hell yeah. But also if I don't or if I'm feeling nervous, nobody cares because I'm the bassist. And like all they want me to do. I don't think I could do what Ren or Dakota do, you know, being the front and the voice.
Well, you got bands like fucking, I mean, I could say Primus, but I won't say Primus. Bands like Fall Out Boy, actually. Pete Wentz being like the main star overshadowing Patrick's amazing singing. Like, it happens. It definitely happens. But You also want to stay authentic, I think.
Yeah, not in deathcore too much. I mean, like, I honestly can't name too many going to me, but like, there's definitely better ones who probably outshine me talent wise. Most of them, actually, I'm not that talented.
Actually, almost all of them, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I was getting there. Like, I can play, you know, I can do everything I need to do, but like, I am just a bass player. I'm not out here doing bass solos or anything crazy.
It's funny you say that, because like, I'm trying to remember the guy on TikTok that does all the like weird bass picking techniques. There's this dude on TikTok that I see who has like these weird like tapping tricks and shit. Like, I can't figure out how the fuck he does it. He like, or because he slaps, but there's something about the way he lifts up with the rest of his. I don't get that shit. I can barely just slap my thumb when I try to play bass.
I mean, if I ever had a song that required me to learn it, could I learn it? Yeah. But I'm also a very busy person. Once again, 5 kids and everything. So, yeah. Like, it's gotten to the point where I strictly learn our songs. I practice our songs 4 or 5 times a week to make sure that, like, if we got to play a surprise set, anything, you know, I'm ready. But, like, I do not learn anybody else's songs. I do not learn covers. I do not have any interest in doing that. Like, I don't know. I like doing my own thing, you know?
I think that thing is memes a lot of time.
And memes,
pretty,
yeah. I like
pretty fucking good at that, I gotta be honest.
Originally, Nasty Breakdowns was ran by me and a guy named Tony Parker, but me and Tony didn't, like, agree on everything. It was really tight at first. Like, he'd make a meme, I'd make a meme. We'd just be blowing up, you know? And we were like, hell yeah, bro, we got, like, 5,000. Followers, and then it got to the point where, like, we both took it too seriously for a minute, I'd say. And, like, we were both, like, I'd make a post, and he'd be like, oh, man, you can't post that. That's not right. And then he'd make a post, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. But then eventually he was just, he quit. And he was, you know. And then it went to my page only, and I ran it at SC Breakdowns, tired of it. I got tired of making all this content and making people smile and laugh on a daily basis and them having no clue who the fuck I was, you know?
I do think that there is some value in that, whether your face is attached to it or not. Like, I definitely seen the disappointment when we took that hiatus from, you know, that I think it was like 6 or 7 months from...
It was more than we wanted. I know that. It was definitely longer.
It's definitely true, but people really fucking like those, like the memes. And I think that that is something I supremely underestimated. And I'm struggling to get back into it, to be honest. Like, that was something I thought I was pretty good at, even though it at the time felt like I was recycling the same 5 jokes over and over again, but with different templates.
Well, I'm about to get back into making memes. It's been like 5, 6 days. Basically, since the Ukraine war started with Russia, like, I can't really make a meme after just being tank on TikTok. Like, it's affected my mood a whole lot just, like, watching it. And it's not that, like, I'm over here, like, oh, like, I am depressed and sad. But I'm also, like, I don't want to laugh right now. You know, I don't want to make memes because, like, seems like there's just more important things going on.
I mean, it's pretty sad that we have to go to TikTok to learn more about the war than our actual newscast.
Oh, you just said the biggest facts. How dare you say something so fucking brave yet so controversial?
Oh God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've seen like 5 videos of somebody getting blown up by a fucking tank or getting cut in half or some shit. It's like, oh, I am so fucking sorry. I am so sorry.
The reason that works on TikTok is if you read the guidelines, they hate violence unless it's informational.
Yeah.
So, like, considering that's all, like, news, they let it stay up. As to where with Facebook, they're just like, violence is violence, point blank, period, and we don't give a shit. So, like, you can't post the things on Facebook that you would on TikTok, which is weird because, like, on normal violence, TikTok is a lot more strict than Facebook on violence. But then whenever it comes to war violence, you know, actual human violence, TikTok's just like, nah, it's cool, man. Everybody's got to learn about it, which I'm grateful they did, because like, it's pretty fucking terrible, and I really hope they resolve this.
I agree with you. And I think we could really apply the same thought process behind what happened with Astroworld, because we saw people literally like moving bodies. It like, I don't know. That's the weird thing about TikTok, allowing violence. But if I post up a video of crowd killing, oh God, help me.
Yep, because it's not news information. Since Astroworld was like, you know, something that everybody was highly interested in, they let a lot of stuff slide. That's just the way TikTok works. It's not, you know, you win some, you lose some, I guess.
You know what I think? I'm just now thinking of this. Like, maybe that's just a cop out for them saying, like, okay, if there are massively viral moments like that, and they're the type of shit that we just can't physically contain because we don't have the resources to contain how many things are going on around this topic, because we only have so many people moderating all the reports and stuff. I think that's what it really comes down to. Because, I mean, you think about, like, how big Astroworld was. They couldn't possibly take down every video about it. Same is probably true about the Ukrainian war.
I don't know.
They physically probably don't have the manpower. I mean, come on. I've gotten a hold of, like, 8 or 9 different TikTok customer service emails, and I have not been able to get anything back about certain, like, community guidelines violations that have happened to me that have impacted the accounts, but, like, also, like, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, it's just weird. TikTok is a weird fucking app.
I mean, even if they did have the manpower, it'll still be up for, like, probably, like, a day, if that, and then they'll be like, oh, wait a minute, and then they'll take it down. Or they'll be like... It'll stay up there for like a hot minute, and then it will like take down.
Two things. They don't like violence at one person's expense. So like, you know, you can't post videos of somebody getting drop kicked because they're instantly just like, nah, that's bullying. You know, like you're bullying.
Well, that depends. That does depend, because I see a bunch of TikTok users about racist people and shit like that, and I've seen so many racist people get clocked, and they're still up. So yeah. It really depends on what type of violence you put up
there. Yeah. The last video that I got blocked for 24 hours on TikTok a few weeks ago, because I posted the video of Bam Margera drop kicking Ryan Dunn from behind to a breakdown. And like, I got like 1,000 reacts, was up all night, and then I woke up, I saw it, I was like, good job, me. And then looked at it again 20 minutes later, and I was like, this has been taken down for community standards, and your post blocked for 24 hours.
And then TikTok said, here's a dick, take it in the ass.
Oh, whenever I got off the 24-hour ban, my fucking algorithm was shit for a few days. But it took, after a few days of me posting good content again, it came back up. But like, I was on a hella roll, and then like the block happened, the next day I posted, it was just like, nah, like you're not getting in. Nobody saw anything I posted after that for a few days.
That literally happened to me over the dumbest fucking shit. The Nevermind Baby. The fucking Nevermind Baby got was in 4 of my videos that got taken down. And then I tried re-uploading the video where obviously the baby was censored. Like, it was just like, obviously it was censored. There were definitely no actual depictions. And anywhere that it said child P word, I made sure that was covered up. I still to this day don't understand why that video got taken down. But tried uploading it 3 separate times, and that got me post blocked for a week. And then, yeah, felt like I was shadow banned right after, though.
That's almost with the shadow ban.
I'm surprised some of my content isn't down yet. Knock on wood.
Right. Some be crazy. It just, yeah, it doesn't make sense. I have videos of like literally breakdowns to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the dude like putting victims on hooks and shit, and they're just like, that's fine, you know, we'll keep that up still up to this day. But, you know, Bam Margera, sorry, the door opened. Bam Margera drop kicking fucking Ryan Dunn post block. Like, that doesn't make any sense, but okay. Which I think what it was, I didn't realize it was part of a movie. It seems like movie violence.
That might have been part of it.
And UFC violence or boxing violence, anything that is part of the entertainment industry, they're normally fine with. But whenever you get out of that to like normal people getting their ass beat in the streets, they're just like, no, we don't want to see that.
And unless they're racist and they get their ass kicked. Unless that.
Yeah, then TikTok loves it.
Or two high school kids fighting in a bathroom. I love that shit. I still get that shit.
Because you would think that, like, considering China owns TikTok, that it wouldn't be very PC or as PC as it is, you know? Because it's not an American-run company, so it's not like it's not a liberal or Republican app. It's a Chinese app that everybody loves.
I mean, but it's all based off of your particular engagement. So, like, the shit that you search for, the shit that you interact with, the, you know, that, like, the based on the content that you make, like, things that you put up on TikTok definitely have an impact on your For You page.
It's a weird app, man, but I love it because it's helped me as an artist grow a lot. Helps a lot of people grow.
Same, honestly.
So, I mean, that's it, you know?
I am in the same fucking boat. Couldn't complain. TikTok has literally taken over my life. An app that I was making fun of 3 years ago has now taken over my life. Like,
I had an ex-girlfriend forever before I was in music. Probably back when this was Musical.ly, she brought it up to me. She's like, you should get on this. And, you know, not a bunch of people are on it. And it's easy to get popular on it because, once again, there's not a bunch of people. So, like, content was still semi-scarce at that point. And I got on it, and I just thought it was the dumbest shit in the world. And I was like, this is never going to catch on. And then, you know, here we are in 2022, and it's, like, the best app in the world. So, like, it's not the, you know, biggest app in the world, but it's in the top five. I know that.
It just passed YouTube and downloads. So, yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of here to stay. There's nothing.
No, I'm for it.
Just for fuck's sake, though, just don't change it.
I'm popular on TikTok. All right, don't pull a Vine and just fucking disappear on us.
That still hurts me. The Vine's gone. That still hurts.
Vine was great, which this TikTok is just a better Vine. That's all it is.
It is. I will admit, but I fucking miss Vine. So much. I miss Vine so much.
Vine, I think, in a lot of ways, was more creative.
Yeah. Well, it was just
to a point. Yeah.
Like, that's what Oliver Tree blew up off of. Before he was a musician, he was with College Humor and all of them. I just said, hi, I'm such and such. I'm a 30-year-old. This is my mom's basement, and I sell ecstasy. And then it's like, that video was his, like, claim to fame. And then the clothes that he wore in that video is the purple jacket and the bowl haircut and everything that he wears now. So it's kind of interesting how he took one viral moment and based his whole career off of it, and then it worked, you know?
Yeah, you definitely didn't see that same thing happen with the scary ex-girlfriend meme. You definitely didn't see that with, like, a lot. There are a lot of memes that people are just like, no, I'm going to go hide from the internet now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, memeing can be good for a band. It can do nothing. It all just depends on how you do it. Like, let's say the Denny's band, a great band. Seem like cool dudes and everything. What is their name again? I've heard it seven times. That's what I'm getting at. Everybody who shared that video did not ever tag them. Most people didn't know who they were, and that sucks because, like, if that would have went slightly different. Backslide, I think their name is, right? Something like that.
I'm going to find it right now. The band is actually called Live Without.
Live Without. I don't know why I said backslide, but yeah, dude, if they would have spun that the right way somehow, like, which I don't even think that was something they meant to go viral, but
I
about that?
Because I believe it was an overnight dishwashers band, and I believe he got fired from it.
He got fired for it?
Oh yeah, because there was some damages that everybody that shared it paid for. So everybody did donations to fix all the repairs and shit. But cool, he definitely got fired.
The cool thing that happened though is that Billy Joe from Green Day donated like $500 towards it. That I do know. Like,
I don't know how much money they raised, but
more than they.
I'm not really sure how much money. Yeah, way more than they needed.
I wonder what that band's doing now.
Still chilling in Texas from the last I looked them up after they denied the When We Were Hungry Fest offer. I don't know if y'all saw that.
I didn't, honestly.
No, I didn't see it.
All I saw was
the video, and that was it.
They made some status about how, like, they were definitely not gonna play that festival. I'm like, how are you going to like not play a festival dedicated to your meme? And I see both sides. How about that?
I bet you more than anything that they resent the fact that that is what everybody knows about them, and that probably, like, they don't have any other identity than that. Like, I could only imagine how that must feel.
I mean, it is aggravating. Like, for a while, we were just the band that, bullied Drap off the show. It took us, like, 6 months to just completely ignore anybody who talked about that to get it out of the way, you know? Because it was cool at first. We're like, hell yeah, we're getting so much publicity. And then, like, months after it happened, we'd make a status and people would be like, yeah, fuck Drap. And I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Shut the fuck up, guys. Like, we get it. We are Until the Dead Walk, though. Like, you don't have to mention Drap every time you talk to us. And it just got really annoying. It got really fucking annoying. Because it was, anytime he did anything, I'd get fucking 30 screenshots sent my way. And it's like, I don't care this much. Like, it was fun. Like, you know, bullying them was fun. But, like, I'm...
People,
I don't know
like
what the fuck they expected me to do.
I think
people wanted us to Van Helsing hunt them down all through America. Like, and it's just not about that, you know. Like, that is not my identity as an artist. I want to be with more people. Like,
absolutely, man. Know? I mean, how are you supposed to create a legacy off of, oh yeah, that guy, Chris Taylor Brown? Yeah, we started a beef with them online, like, couple years back.
We didn't do anything else ever.
And nothing
but,
ever
like,
came
yeah.
of it, but like, we just never stopped yeah. stalking him.
Like, right.
How would that that doesn't make a band look good. That I don't know.
No, it didn't.
No.
I mean, we gained a lot of publicity. A lot of the fans liked it. And we gained a lot of new fans from it. But then you're right. There were a lot of people who were just like, no. And then it honestly didn't make us look super professional either, running, you know, to beat up bands. But I mean, it happens.
But I would argue that you could have run your entire band off of that drama if you were, say, Metallica, because that's kind of how Metallica got started. People still talk about the beef between James Hetfield and Mustaine. I had to think about that for a sec. People still talk about that, and it's been 30-40 years.
I mean, it was back in the day when metal was popular. What it seems to happen is the underground genre that everybody falls in love with because they're like, we listen to this because we're different. And like, life is different, you know, and nobody understands us. And then it gets overly mainstream. And then whatever becomes underground, which at the time of Rock Speak was rap. You know, rap was kind of the oddball in the situation during like Metallica years and things. But as rock became more popular, so did rap. And then rock became so popular to the point of like almost oversaturation. And then you just steadily saw rap fucking, you know, taking its place. And that's why it's so different. You know, back in the day, Metallica would sell, which they still do sell out stadiums, they'll sell out stadiums. And like your biggest band that's dropped in the past 5 years was, you know, 500 to 1,000 cap.
Yeah, I mean, like, times have definitely changed in that sense, but I do think it's fun. I think it's funny how...
Well, I think it will happen again because it's gotten to the point to where rap is extremely oversaturated, you know? And I think it is so popular that, like, it's not cool to like rap anymore. It's really not. Like, anybody who I hear likes rap, I'm just like, oh, you're kind of basic, you know? Like, the first thing that comes to me, like, tell me something I don't know. You know, everybody and their mom likes rap. Every four-year-old likes rap. Mm-hmm. But that used to be rock in the 80s, you know, and then in the 90s, and then boom, it switched up, and fucking now it's rap, and I think eventually it's going to go to either something else or back to rock or whatever, but there's...
Fucking hyper-pop.
I hope not.
Well,
creepy. Was that weird where it was dubstep? That was a phase.
Yeah, that's like we're seeing that now with hyperpop. Whereas like a couple years ago, we saw that with emo rap, and like trap metal is kind of ridden a pretty consistent wave. But like in terms of like newer genres, hyperpop is way more popular than people realize now. We're gonna be seeing like people talking about the rise and fall of different hyperpop artists in like 5 or 10 years on YouTube.
It's crazy. I like some emo rappers. It's, I can't listen to majority of it, to be honest. Like, there's a handful, not even a handful, maybe two artists in the emo rap, maybe three tops that I can actually listen to. Then the rest of them just sound like whiny white kids, and not in a good way. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm curious, who are those artists?
Lil Peep for sure. I don't know if I consider Juice WRLD emo rap because he was extremely mainstream at the same time.
No, I'd
consider him emo.
I think he's wide emo rap. That, yeah.
Then definitely put him in there. And that's it. I guess Lil Xan and some of his songs, but like he's, you could consider Betrayed maybe an emo rap song.
So Suicide Boys didn't come up in your answer.
Not a big fan. Not a big fan.
I don't like Suicide Boys. And I find it weird how like the people I think like Suicide Boys are almost like that with when Suicide Silence was popular. They weirdly kind of gatekeep, like, I don't fuck with Suicide Boys. I don't fuck with Ghost Man, man. I listen to Bones. Like,
I don't care for Ghost Man either. It's not that, like, I think any of these artists are terrible. They're all obviously talented, but I just listen. I'm just like, yeah, I don't jive with it. Like, I'm a dad with 5 kids, and they're talking about, like, running through the alleyways, drinking fists, and, you know, fucking women that they don't know. And I'm just not me anymore, you know? Maybe in my early 20s, before, you know?
I got just the song. Like, oh, yeah. I've got just the song for you. There's this artist named Gizmo, and he's got a song called I Come Blood. It's essentially fucking Cannibal Corpse just over a rap beat. But anyway, it's a very entertaining song, in my opinion. No, but for real, though, like, the artists that I really like from the emo rap scene are pretty much just Jake Hill and Josh A. A little bit of NF here and there, but...
They're fucking phenomenal. They are phenomenal. I mean, I'm always on a Suicide Boys binge because I just enjoy them. Especially their new album. Their new album is fucking phenomenal.
I like the album they did when they actually hired musicians in. And like,
I'm kind of more...
How much did I glitch out there?
Whoever wants to go first, because I heard like half of both of you.
Oh, yeah, you can go, buddy.
All I was saying was that the album that Suicide Boys did, where they had Fieldy from Korn and Travis Barker, like, that one was the one that I liked.
It's not that I don't really like, and if I do, it's got to be gangster rap. Like, I don't like, I'm going to sound like a hater, but, like, not a huge fan of Tech N9ne. I think he is extremely talented, but, like, I don't sit there and wake up in the morning and go, oh, I want to hear somebody rap a million miles a minute. Like, it's just not. And then, like, same with Suicide Boys, I don't really like their voices too much, even though, once again, super talented guys, wish them all the best. I just don't personally listen to it, you know, and chill, you know, bunch of acoustic guitar before it. When I'm driving around, that's really calm and relaxing. I deal with a lot of depression. Dude talks about depression a lot. Fits perfectly. Juice WRLD, same thing. Really relaxing. Talks about depression a lot. Really relatable lyrics.
Dude, I'm telling compared you. Compared to
like, Suicide Boys is very like party boy. Yeah. I will. I'll check them out
seriously,
for you.
Seriously, that like yeah. Honestly, Josh A and Bones are like based on the way that you're describing what you like. I
haven't checked out Bones yet.
I definitely say Bones, Josh A, and maybe some NF, but not all of it. Some of it's kind of hyper Christian-y.
I don't like NF. I mean, I don't like a lot of mainstream rap either. Like, I'm weird. I'm very weird. Like, I'm sorry, guys.
To be fair, I only like Juice WRLD and NF for their bangers. Like those ones are the only ones I really like. I don't like the deep cuts by a lot of those guys. And I'd say that's actually kind of true about most metal too. Like most of the time I really just like the bangers and not so much the not always the track sevens, if you will. But
yeah. I'm not a big fan of Lil Peep at all.
Yeah, that's
I honestly cannot
I
stand him. I cannot stand him. I've tried.
The first time I listened to him, I was like, I don't really care for this. But then about 2 years ago, I had a roommate who was obsessed with Lil Peep. Anytime I took him to anywhere, because he didn't drive, he would take control of the aux, and it was Lil Peep 24/7. And the next thing I knew, I was playing Lil Peep even when he wasn't in the car. You know, and I was like, holy shit.
Is that man had a very unique style.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And it's just the relaxing undertone. And I think really like his lyrics are not very unique. They're not very wordy, but they're very powerful and vague. And I think that's where he wins, because like vague is a marketing dream. A lot of people don't tell you this, but like being vague get you more results because you can relate to more people, and people can make their own stories out of a vague story. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? Like if you're talking about depression, but you're not actually naming girls' names or, you know, particular actions, you know, everybody's been depressed, and that makes it relatable to everybody, you know?
No, I'm definitely with you.
Everybody's been depressed, but like,
no, I'm definitely with that. In fact, when I was in my last band, Dead On Sight, I was worried that I was being too vague. I was like, I'm never saying, like, I'm always saying you or I. That's the only thing I'm ever talking about is you or I. I'm never specific about anything. It just felt weird. But, you know, I don't have to actually specifically say, Becky, you broke my fucking heart in the seventh grade.
Yeah, no.
I mean, and sometimes it does work, but like Amber for Stick to Your Guns was a pop, and that was specific song, actually, about a 14-year-old girl, but I don't know all the lyrics behind it. I don't know the full meaning, but I know it's about a 14-year-old named Amber.
Yeah, about a 14-year-old girl named Amber who took her life. And that
is
was
she?
Like, that I believe, if I remember right, like, ugh, fuck, now I'm like sitting here questioning it. But I'm pretty sure it was about.
Yeah, I was in high school when it came out, and I thought it was a pop in high school. But I've never, like, I never knew the full meaning of the song, you know?
See, that's the other thing, too, is that, like, even if you just have a vague recollection of what the idea was, it will still, like, leave an impression on you, and you'll remember the parts you want to remember.
I love that band. Like, it's kind of crazy because like it didn't have the best production even in that period of time, but they just fucking bopped. You know what I mean? Like you listen to it and you're like, this is just fucking no tricks, yep. Nothing up their sleeves, straight banger. You know what I mean?
The other thing too, is that like, if you think about bands in the 80s, they were like, oh yeah, this Motley Crue shit, fucking bomb. This Guns N' Roses shit, fucking bomb. We hear it in 2020. We're like, you know, I wish that you could hear the snare a little bit more. It'd be nice if I could actually hear exactly what notes he's playing. Dumb shit.
Well, I mean, it's just the production change as music gets better. I mean, it's kind of like looking at a video game from when you were a kid. You were like, "God damn, that was the best graphics. Graphics will never get better than that." And then now, like, you know, there's literally like VR porn and everything. Like, you know, like, so that's where it's at. Oh my God, did y'all hear that new Guns N' Roses single? The last one they did, I don't know how, like, it sounds like it was recorded in, like, the fucking 50s, bro. I don't know what the fuck they did there. It was a...
What the fuck was it? Yeah. It was called Awful or something, or no?
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
No, I talked about it on TikTok when it first came out. Absurd.
I liked about it.
Absurd. So,
it was... That might have been it, yeah.
The reason it sounds that way is because it was originally intended for Chinese Democracy.
See? Yeah. I didn't know that part, but like, it sounds.
I just thought it was an annoying song. If I'm just being honest, like, I don't know. Like, they have so many good songs that like they don't even have to try to keep writing music. Like, same with AC/DC. Like, I'm sure a lot of people are happy that AC/DC put out new music last year, but like,
I didn't even know that.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, did we really even need it? Like, we all still love and respect that legacy. But I don't know. They probably just had to get some sort of money going.
I know you're going to hate me, but I've also never been much of a huge AC/DC fan.
Oh,
I've never been an AC/DC fan. I've never been a...
Bro, I've never... Like, I just respect that.
Like one long song. Yeah, no, they're legends for sure.
I just respect what they do, but can you just, you know, not make music, please? Like, I respect what you guys are doing, but can you stop? Just... Take a minute.
I remember getting
shit. We need to not pull a Fast and the Furious franchise, please. Like,
yeah, please. Let this legacy die in peace, please.
Oh, man.
Like, they need money. Y'all are millionaires. Like, chill, bro.
Yeah, okay, I know.
It's not even that we need the money, man. We just want to work.
Dude,
money does matter for me. I'm not that like if I didn't have kids, sure, I'd do fuck it. I'd live all the road with the band. I love, you know, fucking Tori and it's everything, but like I do have home responsibilities to, you know, to worry about. I got a bunch of kids that need food and stuff. So like you gotta imagine if I'm on tour for a week and I'm not making money, that's a week I could have been at home making money. So like at least in my standpoint as a musician, because or else it's just a hobby that I can't afford. You know what I mean? No matter how much I love it, you know, family first.
I feel
as would say.
I joke about this to myself because I don't have like the opportunity to go out and do shows and shit, but in my head, I'm like, the only way I'll rationalize going out on tour again and playing in a band like that is if I can bring my family with. And I'm like, but then I'm like, oh, logistically, that actually sounds kind of like a pain in the ass.
It would be. Like, touring in general is just a pain in the ass. I love it, but I hate it. You know, long drives for 5 hours just doesn't fucking work for me, you know, but I do it anyways because like I enjoy playing in front of people. I enjoy the high you get from fucking being on stage. Weed's cool, but unless you perform live in front of a few hundred people, you don't know fucking shit about adrenaline high. I don't know. I just enjoy it. Like, it's weird because before I was a musician, I didn't even really have Facebook. I didn't have Instagram. Never would have. Like, I didn't. I lived in the real world. You know, I did cable. I fucking owned a bunch of cars, and I would repair cars and just hang out with the boys all the time. Then I got into music, and I was like, I have to become the social media god, or nobody's gonna fucking care about my business, and which is music, you know. And then fucking, it's changed me completely as a person. I don't know if it's better or worse. But here I am, you know.
That's exactly how I feel about the whole metal sucks shit. I'm like, damn, people want me to keep going. I can't stop now.
Cigarette. I was waiting for that Until the Dead Walk article that never came, but
Wait, what?
I said I was waiting for that Until the Dead Walk article that never came, but it was a joke.
Oh, I'm like, did I promise something?
No, you
something?
Never talked to me about it. No. It was,
you have to understand that is a very real scare that I go through almost on a daily basis. I'm like, did I fucking say yes to something?
No. Oh, yeah. No, with all my media friends like this, my buddy on TikTok earlier did like a Black History Month, you know, people in metal. I'm like, everybody always skips over Ren, and I don't know why. I don't think people know that Ren's black.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, Ren's mixed. I met his dad while we were on tour, and his dad is a very dark, complex man. And then Ren is his son, and then his very pale mother. So, I mean, he's mixed, but, like no, everybody thinks he's Latino or something. Like, I don't know. I've never seen him get brought up in that. Not that it really even matters, but, like, I don't know. I think it's weird how many people just like look at him and they go, he's obviously Latino or something.
He's some kind
They're
of
all
Hispanic.
Wrong. Yeah, something. You're all wrong. But I mean, I love him. He's a good dude. I enjoy being in a band with him. And he is mixed. Anybody watching this, Ren is mixed. He's not Latino. He's your average mixed guy. You know,
I have to ask just because I was just watching, like, I was like, I gotta go look and like see, like, why didn't I like register this? But the first video I clicked on is Slappuccino. That fucking video looked like so much fun to film.
It was fun, but we fucked up. So Ren and the dude he was boxing, he accidentally punched the guy. The guy had to go to the hospital and he had damaged retina and he was not allowed to box or anything for like X amount of months.
Okay.
So like everything we got day one was all we could piece together. There was no, cause you gotta think we would have had to reshoot the whole fucking thing with a new fucking actor. And so like that was very, I'm not a big fan of the video just because I know what the dream was and then what came out. And it was nothing we could have done. It was nothing the camera guys could have done. It was literally just bad fucking luck on that one. You know, fucking dude got hurt. You know, I called the gym and set up the second appointment. They called him to tell him. He was like, oh, bro, I can't come back. And I thought it was makeup because, like, we had a makeup team there, and they make it up. And I thought all the bruising and, like, the cut was makeup. So, like, I thought he was perfectly fine. He's like, no, that was actually real. Like, friend accidentally hit me one time. And
remind me, he's like, yeah, fuck with Ren.
Ren is a bodybuilder. Ren is a big dude. Ren just beat up 4 people in a movie theater for calling him. Just racial slurs and shit. So, Ren, like, punched one dude, threw 3 people down the stairs. And it was, I mean, Ren's a big guy. I would not want to fuck with Ren. This motherfucker gets drunk and then he'll hug you just trying to be your friend. You're like, you are too strong. Get the fuck off me. Like, breaking my back, bro. Nah, he's a good dude.
That's fucking crazy.
But yeah,
I had no idea about that at all. I would not have broached the topic like that if I had known that.
Which topic?
Just the video of Pacino. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, it's just personally not my favorite. And then I'm not a big fan of a lot of our videos, if we're being honest. Some of them I really love, some of them I really hate. Like, I like No Justice, No Peace. I think that one was shot well. Mm-hmm. I think Outlaw was shot well. I think Kemper could have been better. We wrote out this whole script and then fucking just didn't do it for some reason. Slappuccino could have been better, but that was just, you know, once again, got hours of shooting material only. I love Talk It Out. I forget what our other videos are, if we even have any other videos. Oh, Letter to Coda, I really fucking hate. I really fucking hate Letter to Coda. And then on top of me hating it, it has too much violence for Google to fucking advertise. So like we can't even advertise the video at all either. So it's just fucking fucked.
That seems and to be like, a pattern with your band. Or just like, you know, that just seems to be a pattern, the violence.
I mean we're just realistic cats, man. Like I don't know. We're just all a bunch of dudes. We're none of us are perfect. None of us are fucking out here trying to make a trying to be, you know, does that make sense? Like, yeah. So many people become artists and then they get this bullshit persona, and that's what everybody sees them as. And, like, we tried to build on a persona at first, and we were just like, this sucks. And it's hard to make content when you're faking who you are. So, like, I eventually was like, I'm just going to start being a fucking weirdo, you know?
Honestly, that's a really good song idea. Like, talking about thinking you have to put on a, like, almost like that mask we all kind of put on in certain social situations just to get through. Yeah. But
no, I don't have one. Sorry. We have a working lighter now, folks. It's in the building after fucking 2 hours of not having one.
Fucking proud.
But, I don't know. Moving up in the world. But, everybody is so fucking fake, and I hate it. I hate it so goddamn much, and it's not one person, it's not two people, it's everybody. It is like these fake personas, like it just doesn't make any damn sense to me. Like I get it, it sells, but like why? Like why be somebody you're not, even for money? It just doesn't make sense. And it just I can't personally do it. Like we're just going to continue being that weird fucking band, but that's because it's what I genuinely like to post. Like, you know, I feel good making Until the Dead Walk statuses because it's what I want to fucking do. As of now, I'm making like all our new scripts. I make all our posts along with a social advisor as well. Like I have somebody who helps me with a lot of the posting. Like, I'll send it to them and be like, is this good? And they'll be like, bro, you can't fucking post that. Or they'll be like, go for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need one of those.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't fucking hurt. Yeah, a second opinion on everything doesn't, because you're about to post this in front of, like, me personally, 17,000 people. So, like, I want to make sure I'm not hurting any of those 17,000 people or pissing them off. You know, I would prefer to be gaining a following, not losing a following through, you know, saying something accidentally fucked up because, like, you know, or just poor choice of words because, I mean, I have ADHD and I'm from Kentucky, so my fucking education level is not the highest in general.
Like, look, I mean... Are any of us really all that educated? I mean, we might be able to recite or repeat an entire fucking book to you, but does that actually mean that you're smarter than someone else? Like, I think people underestimate social or emotional intelligence compared to what IQ, EQ, whatever.
I had an issue whenever I was younger thinking I was smarter than everybody. So, like, I did go to college, but I went to college for one day. I went in there and I went to all the classes and I was like, I don't feel like any of this is going to help me with shit with, and I'm going to become famous without it, or not famous, but I'm going to become successful, because at that time I didn't care about fame. I just wanted to own a business of some sort or make a bunch of money doing something, you know. I wanted to live, you know, the normal middle class life. That was my goal, just in general. And then, yeah, I mean, it's crazy how this all works. You want to know the most fucking crazy thing that I still think about to this day? So I told you guys I used to forever ago fucking. At one point, for a bunch of years, I was doing installation, but then my back went out and I had to switch to sales. You know, so I was that door-to-door salesman knocking on your door fucking. And you might want to make fun of that motherfucker, but guess what? I was making like 4 to 6 grand every single month in commission plus salary. Like, I was big balling, fucking knocking on your door, selling you some cable, like fucking acting like I don't have a dollar in my pocket, so you buy from me, you know?
Hey, but it worked. You found an angle that worked for you, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, fuck it.
I mean, I didn't go to the rich neighborhoods whenever I sold cable. I don't generally vibe with rich people. I don't like rich people. Where the fuck was I going with that? I completely forgot. Where were we at?
Honestly, this whole podcast has completely derailed because I think it's fucking 11 o'clock here. What time is it where you are?
It's still 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. I just, like I said, I have kids. I don't sleep. Like, it doesn't work like that.
I feel you. For a while there, I was doing 4 hours a night.
I think my son's napping now, but he normally wakes up for another, like, 2 hours around, like, 1 o'clock. So, you know, that is a thing.
Yeah, my son currently likes to stay up until 1 o'clock at night every day and then wake up at 10 or 11.
Crazy, man. Like a fucking college kid. Right. They're the best, though.
Yeah, and then I was getting up at 4 a.m. every day to go to work.
So one of them's 10, one of them's 6, one of them's 6. And then 1 3-year-old and one year old. I got one, like, all the way down, you know, if I can do.
Man, I can't believe we've been going for this long. We're almost at 3 hours. So,
are we?
I think.
We didn't start till almost 9, but yeah, I mean, we're almost at 2 hours. I mean, like I told you before we started this, you fucking just tell me when to stop, because I just don't stop and I fucking talk all day.
Honestly, that's how we've had our Party Cannon interview went that way, and then one of our more recent ones went that way. Who was that with? Fuck me, I don't remember.
And you think I'm gonna remember? Jesus Christ.
Yes, I do think you're gonna remember.
Yeah, you're hilarious.
Listen, before we wrap all this up, it's been super chill getting to sit here and talk shit with you for this whole however long we've actually been doing this for. But
majority of this just roast bands, but you probably fucking suck. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I am kidding. Fuck you. Go.
Is there anybody you want to thank or shit talk before we give you the virtual boot?
Love my family. Love my band. All the promoters that be booking us. Fuck yeah. Agent Joey, you're the man as well. And if you don't like us, fuck you. I mean, that's it.
I meant to ask this before, but is there anything that's, like, new that's coming up that we should know about? Or anything that you can talk about before we let you go?
Working on festival. We're 4 songs into tracking a new album. We had Pablo come into town, like, 3-4 weeks ago, and he spent the week with us writing and chilling and debauchery. We got this tour coming up, the weekend tour in March. So, like, yeah, this weekend, starting every weekend. And then June 11th, we get the show with Let's Suffer, 200 Stab Wounds, and a whole bunch of other people. It's like a 10-band show.
I'm going to try my damnest to go up there.
Yeah, they're all bigger bands. Like, the smallest band is a big band. So, like, it's a good show. I'm excited for it. Like, I really am. And I've never been to New York. So, like,
it's a place.
Yeah.
Can I yell with all the spirits of the bands? Are they going to be offended?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I will refrain.
We act hard, but we're not.
It's okay. But and just anybody watching, I guess, you know, remember, none of this shit happens overnight. It takes a lot of fucking blood, sweat, and tears, you know, and years. to fucking get where the fuck you want to go. And like, I'm not even where I want to be yet. You know, I still have a fucking crazy amount of growing to go, but like, I see it every day. And like, that is the goal. I think it was Jacob Wallace from Bro Job who told me that if you get a fan a day, you're winning, you know. That, he's right. That's the goal.
He's right, you know.
Yeah. He did.
Well, that was a beautiful note to end on. Where can they find everything Until the Dead Walk? Just search Until the Dead Walk everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, we pop up. We're cool enough, I guess. Spotify, Until the Dead Walk, Twitter, UTW, and UTDW. I always forget the D. Can't forget the D.
Never forget the D.
And Until the Dead Walk on everything else. And follow us. Don't follow us. Please do follow. I mean, I think I'm a fucking hoot sometimes, you know. Not all the time. Sometimes I drop statuses that suck, but like sometimes you might enjoy me sometimes, you know, who knows?
That basically just make sure you get them on Facebook. That's where you want to be paying the most attention.
Yeah, I've tried on Twitter, I've tried on Instagram. Instagram's for more photogenic people and people who like taking pictures of themselves. And I'm not somebody who likes to take pictures of themselves. Yeah. So, you know, the place where Facebook's more for personality. So, like,
check it out, Instagram. I shaved my pubes into a cross.
I didn't. I can only, same with TikTok. Like, I just don't like videoing myself and I don't like taking pictures of myself. And then, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't like sucking my own dick. I don't.
You're not doing it right.
Okay. You got me there.
All right.
With well,
all that said, guys, thanks for tuning in. I think, I don't even remember how we fucking end these anymore. I guess hail Satan and get fucked.
Hail Satan. Get fucked. Hell yeah, bro. Be easy, y'all.
Later.